And we are joined now by one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, and Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Thanks for joining us.
Hey! I see what you did there, Aaron.
You are one of my favorite people in the world, and you are also Susan Brown.
Indeed, I am both of those things.
And it's Banned Books Week, which means excitement at the library, because these trading cards, which I've got in my hands right now, and which we'll say more about in a little while, are really cool. We were talking about this with Susan McGuire last week.
Yes.
But how has the week been? I know there's been a lot of different events and things and the trading card giveaway every day. So how's that been going?
First of all, I'm glad to see that you haven't sold yours on eBay yet.
Not these, no.
Okay. it's going really well. We had an awesome event last Friday night, the Meet the Artists reception and the exhibit launch. We had 150-some people come out for that. My favorite part of that was Saturday's card, the last card of the week, which is not yet unveiled. The winner was a 10-year-old girl, and her parents didn't tell her she'd won. So the whole family came.
Oh,
she entered
awesome.
Several versions of the winning piece. So I'm out there greeting people and chatting them up in the lobby where all the pieces are. And there's her family, and I mean, like, the mom, the dad, the grandma, the brother, everybody. And she's pointing out her piece to me, and I said, oh, well, you have another one in. And we had all the winners in the meeting room, and the mom's, like, giving me the look, like, no, stop talking. She didn't, like, I almost ruined it. And then the girl walks in, her first name is Harper, and she was just blown away that she had won. It was awesome. It was a great night.
That's
super
really cool.
Fun. And the artists were just great, and it was really fun. So then the cards started dropping on Sunday. You can get them at the library. You can get them at Flyleaf Books and at six of the libraries on campus. And then this year, we were thrilled to partner with the Daily Tar Heel.
Mm-hmm.
They're featuring a card each day, or each day's card on page two.
Nice.
So it's been really, really fun this year to expand it. I even got the chance to give Chancellor Folt a pack of cards yesterday.
I saw that picture. Yeah. I was actually struck by how not I thought the height difference would be bigger.
I was kind of like bending my knees a little bit.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
She's a petite, like, I mean, she's a powerhouse.
Short. I think
she's
you're
a
taller
petite
than me,
lady.
Right? Yeah,
I'm like close to 5'11".
Yeah, you're a little bit there. A little taller than me. Yeah,
but yeah, she was wearing heels. I was wearing heels.
Okay, but you were.
And I think the picture was kind of at an angle because lots of people have said, like, you'd think it would be different.
A big difference, yeah. And it was a big difference, but it just wasn't,
She was great. She read from Look Homeward, Angel.
Nice.
And I gave her my band buttons.
Mm-hmm.
My band books. Oh, my band buttons book.
Band
my
books
book
button.
Bands button. My band books button.
We had
a moment. It was great.
We had Jackie Tanner, the co-chair of the Fix-A-Home Committee here earlier this hour, and I kept calling her Jackie Channer because I kept jumping ahead to the title.
I would do that.
Yeah,
I would
did that all the time. So band books button.
Yes. So that was great.
Awesome.
And people, also we're going to be at Festival. We're going to have a booth for the cards at Festival.
Nice.
So it's a great week. If you haven't gotten cards, stop by the library and get yours. You can, of course, get previous day's cards, not future day's cards. and we've got orders coming in from all over the place. If you're not lucky enough to live in Chapel Hill, you can buy them via our fabulous Friends of the Library and their PayPal site. So people are ordering them from all over the place.
All right, awesome. So that's going on. Of course, everyone's talking about Banned Books Week on social media. Everyone's also talking about Banned Books Week on social media.
Right.
I have to mention, because I know CH Pub Live got in on this.
Yes, and I am not that clever. That is
I believe
the doings of Daniel Seiler, our marketing and communications manager.
So this is the typical Twitter take a word and replace it with something else.
B-A-N-D Books Week. So it's things like...
Catch 20 U2.
Right. Catch 20 U2. There was the other one on there today. I'm not that good. I am...
The Bluest Eister Cult?
Oh, wow.
I was coming up with these earlier.
I think we're done.
Hour.
I think the show is over now.
Kings of Leon and Kings of Leon? That's all
yes.
I got.
Okay, good.
Okay,
you should definitely stop now.
Speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, Banned Books Week going on.
Oh, but that's not the other thing going on this week.
There's something
else. Sorry. What do you call that in, like, radio terms when somebody interrupts you? Is it stepping on your line or just...
It's annoying is what it is. I do it all the time. It's fine.
Okay. That's not the only thing that's been going on this week.
But wait, there's more.
That's right.
That's what you're talking about.
Yesterday, there was a author visit at the library, and you would have loved this guy, Gene Yang. He's a super geek and a super author.
Your Honor, I would have loved this guy.
He talked about his geekiness. He is very well known for, he's won all the big awards. He's been a National Book Award finalist. He won the Prince Award, which is the huge award for like YA lit. He's most known for books like American Born Chinese, which is a great graphic memoir. Mm-hmm. He is the one that I thought of you. So he was a high school teacher. He's also a computer scientist. And in his youth, he fell in love with two things, comics and coding. So it's sort of the science and the art together. And he's done both.
Oh, yeah.
His new book out is called Secret Coders, which my kid bought and got signed and read in like 45 minutes. He was like, this is the best book ever. But I thought of you because the author, so he did a great talk. He visited several schools yesterday, and then we partnered with Flyleaf to bring him to the library. Just a really great author talk. But he's got a two-book series called Boxers and Saints, and it is a very lengthy graphic, well, not super lengthy, but longer than a comic book. It's a graphic novel telling of the Boxer Rebellion.
Oh,
and he
nice.
Couldn't figure out, when he learned about it as a kid, he couldn't figure out who was the good guys in the story and who were the bad guys. So
right.
he's got two volumes. One's called Boxers, one's called Saints, and in one of the books, the Boxers are the good guys and the saints, or the Catholics, you know, all of that. And then he switches them for the other one.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's super
cool. Really
cool. And I saw it, and then I was like, Aaron Keck would like this. And I just did a terrible job describing it, but trust me, it's cool.
No, I'm excited about that. And I saw someone, I just made the connection while you were talking in my head. I saw someone posting on this, because this was last night, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Someone was posting on this on Facebook last night, and I can't remember who it was, but they were there, and they were talking about their kids and the extent to which coding suddenly became cool for this kid because you can connect it with comic books, which you couldn't do before.
He was amazing. So Gene Yang, we have all of his books there. They're probably all checked out, but he is great, really great. And this stuff is focused on kids, but it's really enjoyed by folks of all ages.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library. It's Banned Books Week. We've got these trading cards. I've got some in my hand that we're going to give away on the air here in a few minutes. But first...
Cool.
But first, there's more. We have to recommend books for the week.
We do.
We did Banned Books last week. Susan McGuire was in here. But... the other big thing that's been going on this week has been that it's been raining a little bit. Not right
this
second, just a smidge. I just got an email from, or just got a flash flood watch came in from the National Weather Service for a big chunk of the Triangle for the rest of the week. And I just got an email from Chatham County officially saying, get ready and be careful because some parts between the system that's coming from the west and Hurricane Joaquin, which may or may not hit us, and how much is it going to, they're talking about maybe a total of 10 inches.
Whoa.
Like between now, accumulated between now and the end of the weekend.
That's a lot of water.
I think that's the worst case scenario, but that's a lot to deal with. So
it is.
Yeah.
So rainy weather. Rain was our prompt.
Yes, rain is our prompt. And I don't have much. I've got a couple, I think. But
okay.
But go ahead.
Okay.
Because you're going to have more than me this week.
So when I think rain, I think food.
Okay.
Doesn't everyone?
Of course. You're inside. There's nothing to do but get on the internet and eat. So,
Get on. Yes, you could get on the internet to find your cozy rainy day cooking, or you could come to the library and get the book. So I was thinking rainy days, and actually last weekend, it was raining all weekend. I cooked more than I cooked like that whole week. I was like making some stew and baking some cookies and making some bread because that's what you want to do.
Yes.
And you're stuck inside. Sometimes with small children. So anyways, I was thinking about that. So I was perusing our cookbook section, which we have an amazing cookbook section. And I just wanted to not really talk about one specific book per se, although I brought a couple because I'm going to be cooking from them this weekend. Mm-hmm. But we have things like Cookie Love. Right?
I like
really
it.
Awesome. I mean, so our cookbooks, we have the classics, but we also buy all the new stuff. So if you go to Barnes & Noble and you see a big cookbook display, We've probably got them, or they are coming. So, Cookie Love.
Let the record show that these books are currently here in the studio.
Yeah, you can't go get them right now.
Right.
Actually, I think I checked them out.
There might be another copy. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we have lots more. So, we have whole books on muffins or quick breads.
Nice.
And then I got slow cooking.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh, I need
crock
that.
Pots are big. Right?
I've got like two crock pot recipes that I use. That looks, is that pot roast? That looks really good.
No, this is like sausage and beans.
Ooh,
like
that's
white
even
beans
better.
And sausage.
Oh, nice.
There's chili. There's cassoulet. Yes. I actually just got a new toy. I got one of these new automatic, very safe electronic pressure cookers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You can do a pot roast in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, my college roommate had a pressure. He was Indian too. He cooked dal all the time in the pressure cooker, and it was so good, like rice and everything. And you could do so much with it.
We also have great ethnic cookbooks. Mm-hmm. I just recently checked out an Indian slow cooker cookbook.
Oh, I need to get that.
I've got a
slow cooker. I love it. I have like two recipes that I use, and I have no idea what to do with it.
Come to the library, browse the cookbook section.
Nice.
You'll find lots of stuff for rainy weather.
All right. So that's your first one.
That's my first one, yep.
When I think about rain, it took me a while to think of, okay, what's a story, what's a novel, what's something where rain is a major factor. And the one that I always come back to, and I think I've mentioned it on the air before in one of these, but I always have to look up the title. It's called All Summer in a Day by Ray Bradbury, the short story.
I don't think I've read that one.
This is really, it's very good. It's very short. I think I was in sixth grade with English class with Mrs. Hutchinson. Mrs. Hutchinson. And she would give us these very, like, Donovan's Brain creepy stories with a horrible twist at the end. And I think this was one of those that she gave us. It's a science fiction, very short story by Ray Bradbury, All Summer in a Day. It's about a school, a classroom of kids on Venus, where it rains constantly, and every 7 years the sun comes out for 1 hour, and the kids are very, very excited because they get to see the sun for the first time in their lives ever. And there's one, like the main character is this girl who has spent some time on Earth and has seen the sun before, but that kind of makes her an outcast among the class of students who have all grown up on Venus, and things go from there. But that's,
does she get like detention? Because you wouldn't want to get detention on that day. You wouldn't want to get in trouble.
She gets detained. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah. She doesn't get detention. She gets detained.
And what's it called again?
All Summer in a Day. You'd like it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find it online, probably. But it's 10 pages long.
Okay.
It's a really quick, like, sit down.
Oh, I love that.
Sitting. It's great. Yeah. Ray Bradbury. Terrific.
Okay. Sticking in the science fiction vein, I'm not going to bring up a particular book, but I wanted to bring up an author.
Okay.
It's an author named Kim Stanley Robinson. He's a science fiction author. I don't read a whole lot of sci-fi. But he is one of the greatest living science fiction writers. Mm-hmm. And many, many of his books are about some way about weather. So they're about climate. And he does have one. Let me find the title. Where did it go? Oh, shoot. Something about rain. There's rain in the title, and that made me think of it. The one of his that I read was called The Years of Rice and Salt,
mm-hmm.
Which won a lot of awards. But they're big, meaty science fiction books. They're often about climate and often about politics. So one of them is, you know, it's rained for, like, we had the not 100-year flood. We had, like, the 1,000-year flood. And it's sort of, you get the post-apocalyptic kinds of things,
nice.
But also tied into modern politics about climate change and also really good science fiction writing.
Okay.
And I can't believe I didn't write. It's a trilogy. The trilogy is called Science and the Capital, and the first one of those has rain in the title, and that made me think of the author Kim Stanley Robinson.
Kim Stanley Robinson.
If you like science fiction, he's won every major award out there. He's very literary, and he's got the science chops to go with it. He's great. So the one with rain in the title, or the one that I have read, is The Years of Rice and Salt.
40 Signs of Rain.
40 Signs of Rain. That's
not to be confused with a novel with a similar title that I'm now thinking of that has nothing to do with science fiction whatsoever.
What are you thinking of?
50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kim Stanley Robinson.
Yeah.
There you go.
40 Signs of Rain, Kim Stanley Robinson. And then the next two are 50 Degrees Below and 60 Days and Counting, at least according to KimStanleyRobinson.info.
.com. .info.
.info.
Ah.
Yeah. We're in a whole new world. Okay, so that's your second recommendation. Mine is another kid's book. Everyone focuses on what's going on inside the house for this one, but we oftentimes forget that the reason the kids are holed up in the house in the first place is because it's raining outside. You know what I'm talking about?
Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. It's raining outside, and then chaos ensues.
That's right.
Yep. Oh, which is what happens every time it rains outside.
And then there's the Cat in the Hat comes back.
Which was my favorite. I always preferred The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. Yeah.
And we actually had, I forget if it's a Scholastic DVD, but there was a little short film done of The Cat in the Hat that wasn't bad.
Okay.
Especially when you have
so
young
not
kids
the Mike Myers.
And they want to watch them ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. No, this is an animated short film of The Cat in the Hat,
It
was not bad.
Awesome. All right. I'll have to check that one out, too. I'll have to check out The Cat in the Hat, period, because I think it's been at least a few months since I've read it.
A few months?
At least a few months, yeah. I don't know how long. Okay, I've got one more, but what do you have?
Okay, I've got one. Maybe two more. I'll just do one more.
Okay,
maybe.
Right.
Who knows?
We got time.
Okay, so the other one, I'm not sure if I've talked about this one before or not, but if so, I'm going to talk about it again. And if not, I'm just going to talk about it.
Okay.
It's a book called In Sunlight in a Beautiful Garden. The author is Kathleen Cambor. And thinking about rain, this is set... The backdrop is the famous, I think it was 1888 or 89, Johnstown, Pennsylvania flood.
Okay.
So it's one of those, it's historical fiction, which I love. And you know that this event's going to happen. Kind of like the Titanic movie,
kind of
right?
Yep.
So you know that the flood's going to happen. But what this is really about is the characters. So the town itself, it weaves in some of the famous people of the day, like Andrew Mellon and Andrew Carnegie, because they all have homes there and they summer there. Right?
Yeah.
And so they are sort of up top, and then you have the workers of the town below, whose life is much, much different, and sort of how these stories converge, how the flood, the days leading up to the flood, and then how it affects these folks. So it's not quite an epic saga, but it's a character-driven piece of historical fiction that hopefully we won't have a flood like that this coming weeks. We surely won't. No,
yeah,
we're not going to. No.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not.
But if you like historical fiction and you like really strong characters with that touch of characters from reality, from history, I would recommend In Sunlight in a Beautiful Garden.
Okay, awesome. All right, I've got one more, but it's only semi-tenuously connected to rain, so I'm going to hold off until later on this one, but I just finished reading it. It's really good. I'll talk about it some other week. But any
was that
others?
It? So you didn't actually have one?
No, I do. It's very good. It's The Master and Margarita. I just finished reading it. It's really good.
Who wrote that?
Mikhail Bulgakov is how.
Can you
it,
say that again?
Is how, no, I couldn't say it the first time. Bulgakov.
Bulgogi, that's a really good Korean barbecue dish.
Yes.
Is it that?
No, it's not that. It's Bulgakov. And if I say it one more time, the FCC is going to shut me down. but I will talk about that at length the next time we get a prompt that that deals with it, because it's only semi-rain related. But Susan Brown, thank you so much for joining us. And before we let you go, do you want to talk about these banned books cards?
Yes.
Because we're about to give some away.
Give them away. I will say, I talk about these a lot, but I do want to give shout outs to a couple of folks that work for the town. Daniel Seiler and Susan McGuire that work at the library ran the project this year. And also our dear friends at the Office of Public and Cultural Arts, another division of the town, Jeff York and Steve Wright. They help us run this whole thing and organize the jury and put out the call for artists. So I got this project started myself a couple years ago at a different library in a different state, but these are the folks that make it possible here.
Awesome.
So yay for them.
Awesome. All right, we've got two sets of these cards to give away. So be caller number three. We'll say caller number three.
Sure.
Caller number three right now, 919-929-WCHL. There's seven cards here. Some of them have not been released to the public yet. If you call in and win, you can come and pick them up soon, and you will be able to get your hands on these before the general public does. 929-WCHL, caller number three. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.